life, where sewing a neat hem was a laudable accomplishment, and removing beet stains from a blouse was cause for celebration. Instead, she would blunt pain and stanch bleeding and set bones. She would save lives. Yet in the end, it happened just as her mother predicted. She met a man. It was September 1957, her junior year at the back of a crowded lecture hall. Cambridge was still sweltering and sticky, and everyone was waiting for the crisp cool of fall to sweep the city clean. The course was new that year. The cowboy in American culture, and everyone wanted to take it. Rumor had it that their homework would be watching The Lone Ranger and Gunsmoke on television. Marilyn took a piece of loose leaf from her folder, and, while her head was bent, quiet fell over the room like snow. She glanced up at the professor approaching the podium, and then she understood why everyone had gone silent. The course catalog had listed the instructor as James P. Lee. He was a fourth-year graduate student, and no one knew anything about him. To Marilyn, who had spent all her years in Virginia, Lee conjured a certain kind of man, a Richard Henry, a Robert E. Now she realized that she, that everyone, had expected someone in a sand-colored blazer, someone with a slight drawl and a southern pedigree. The man setting his papers on the lectern was youngish and thin, but that was as close as he came to what they had all pictured. An Oriental, she thought. She had never seen one in person before. He was dressed like an undertaker. Black suit, black tie knotted tight, shirt so white it glowed. His hair was slicked back and parted in a perfect pale line, but one wisp stood straight up in back, like an Indian chief's feather. As he started to speak, he reached up with one hand to smooth down the cowlick, and someone snickered. If Professor Lee heard, he didn't show it. Good afternoon, he said. Marilyn found herself holding her breath as he wrote his name on the board. She could see him through her classmates' eyes, and she knew what they were thinking. This was their professor? This little man, 5'9" at most, and not even American, was going to teach them about cowboys? But when she studied him again, she noticed how slender his neck was, how smooth his cheeks. He looked like a little boy playing dress-up, and she closed her eyes and prayed for the class to go well. The silence stretched, taut as the surface of a bubble, ready to be popped. Someone shoved a sheaf of mimeographed syllabi over her shoulder, and she jumped. By the time she had taken the top copy and passed the rest on, Professor Lee had begun to speak again. The image of the cowboy, he said, has existed longer than we might imagine. There was no trace of an accent in his voice, and she slowly let out her breath. Where had he come from? She wondered. He sounded nothing like what she'd been told Chinamen sounded like. So, Sally, no washi. Had he grown up in America? 10 minutes in, the room began to rustle and murmur. Marilyn glanced at the notes she'd jotted down. Phrases like, undergone multiple evolutions in each era of American history, and apparent dichotomy between social rebel and embodiment of quintessential American values. She scanned the syllabus. 10 required books, a midterm exam, 3 essays. This wasn't what her classmates had had in mind. A girl at the side of the room tucked her book beneath her arm and slipped out the door. 2 girls from the next row followed. After that, it was a slow but steady trickle. Every minute or two, another few students left. One boy from the first row stood up and cut right in front of the podium on his way out. The last to leave were three boys from the back. They whispered and sniggered as they edged past just emptied seats, their thighs bumping each armrest with a soft thump, thump, thump. As the door closed behind them, Marilyn heard one shout, "Yippee-ki-yay!" so loud that he drowned out the lecture. Only 9 other students still remained, all studiously bent over notebooks. But they were all reddening in the cheeks and at the edges of their ears. Her own face was hot, and she didn't dare look at Professor Lee. Instead, she turned her face to her notes and put her hand to her forehead, as if shielding her eyes from the sun. When she finally peeked up at the podium again, Professor Lee gazed out over the room as if nothing were amiss. He didn't seem to notice that his voice now echoed in the nearly empty hall. He finished his lecture with 5 minutes remaining in the period and said, "I'll hold office hours until 3 o'clock." For just a few seconds, he stared straight ahead, toward a distant horizon, and she squirmed in her seat as if he were staring directly at her. It was that last moment, the tingle at the back of her neck as he stacked his notes and left the room, that brought her to his office after the lecture. The history department had the peaceful quiet of a library, the air still and cool and slightly dusty. She found him at his desk, head propped against the wall, reading that morning's Crimson. The part in his hair had blurred, and the cowlick stuck up again. "Professor Lee, I'm Marilyn Walker. I was in your lecture just now." Though she hadn't meant it to, the end of her voice swerved up into a question, and she thought, "I must sound like a teenage girl, a stupid, silly, shallow teenage girl." "Yes?" He did not look up, and Marilyn fiddled with the top button of her sweater. "I just wanted to check," she said, "if you thought I'd be able to keep up with the work." He still didn't look up.
"Are you a history major?"
"No, physics."
"A senior?"
"No, a junior. I'm going to medical school. So history, it's not my field."
"Well," he said, "to be honest, I don't think you'll have any problems. If you choose to stay in the course, that is."
He half-folded the newspaper, revealing a mug of coffee, took a sip, then fanned out the paper again. Marilyn pursed her lips. She understood that her audience was now over, that she was expected to turn around and walk back into the hallway and leave him alone. Still, she'd come here for something, though she wasn't sure what. And she jutted out her jaw and pulled a chair up to his desk. "Was history your favorite subject in school?"
"Miss Walker," he said,
looking up at last,
"why are you here?"
When she saw his face up close, just a table width away, she saw again how young he was, maybe only a few years older than she was, not even 30, she thought. His hands were broad, the fingers long, no rings. "I just wanted to apologize for those boys," she said suddenly, and realized this was really why she'd come. He paused, eyebrows slightly raised, and she heard what he'd just heard. Boys, a trivializing word. Boys will be boys.
"Friends of yours?"
"No," Marilyn said, stung. "No, just idiots." At that, he laughed, and she did too. She watched tiny crinkles form around the corners of his eyes, and when they unfolded, his face was different, softer, a real person's face now. From here, she saw that his eyes were brown, not black, as they'd seemed in the lecture hall. How skinny he was, she thought. How wide his shoulders were, like a swimmer's. his skin the color of tea, of fall leaves toasted by the sun. She had never seen anyone like him.
"I guess that sort of thing must happen all the time," she said softly.
"I wouldn't know. That was my first lecture. The department let me take this class as a trial."
"I'm sorry."
"It's all right," he said. "You stayed until the end."
They both looked down, he at his now empty mug, she at the typewriter and neat sheaf of carbon paper perched at the end of his desk.
"Paleontology," he said after a moment.
"What?"
"Paleontology," he repeated. "My favorite subject. It was paleontology. I wanted to dig up fossils."
"That's the kind of history, though," she said.
"I guess it is."
He grinned into his coffee cup, and Marilyn leaned across the desk and kissed him. On Thursday, at the next lecture, Marilyn sat off to the side. When Professor Lee came into the room, she didn't look up. Instead, she wrote the date carefully in the corner of her notes, looping a demure S in September, crossing the T in a perfectly horizontal line. As he began to speak, her cheeks went hot, as if she'd stepped into summer sun. She was positive she was bright red, blazing like a lighthouse. But when she finally looked around, out of the corners of her eyes, everyone was focused on the lecture. There were a handful of other students in the room, but they were scribbling in their notebooks or facing the podium up front. No one noticed her at all. When she'd kissed him, she had surprised herself. It had been such an impulse, the way she sometimes reached out to catch a stray leaf on the wind, or jumped a puddle on a rainy day, something done without thinking or resisting, something pointless and harmless. She had never done anything like that before and never would again. And looking back on it, she would forever be surprised at herself and a little shocked. But at that moment she had known, with a certainty she would never feel about anything else in her life, that it was right, that she wanted this man in her life. Something inside her said, "He understands what it's like to be different." The touch of his lips on hers had startled her. He had tasted like coffee, warm and slightly bitter, and he had kissed back. That had startled her too, as if he were ready for it, as if it were as much his idea as hers. After they finally drew apart, she'd been too embarrassed to meet his eyes. Instead, she looked down into her lap, studying the soft plaid flannel of her skirt. Sweat bunched her slip to her thighs. In a moment, she grew braver and peeked at him through the curtain of her hair. He looked shyly up at her then, through his lashes, and she saw that he wasn't angry. His cheeks were pink.
"Perhaps we'd better go somewhere else," he said. And she'd nodded and picked up her bag.
They'd walked down along the river, passing the red brick dorms in silence. The crew team had been practicing, the oarsmen bending and unbending over their oars in perfect unison, the boat sliding across the water without sound. Marilyn knew these men. They asked her to mixers, to movies, to football games. They all looked alike, the same blend of sandy hair and ruddy skin she'd seen all through high school, all her life, as familiar as boiled potatoes. When she turned them down to finish a paper or catch up on her reading, they moved on to woo other girls down the hall. From where she stood on the riverbank, the distance made them anonymous, expressionless as dolls. Then she and James, as she did not even dare yet to think of him, had reached the footbridge.
and she stopped and turned to face him. He hadn't looked like a professor, but like a teenage boy, bashful and eager, reaching out to take her hand. And James, what had he thought of her? He would never tell her this, would never admit it to himself. He had not noticed her at all that first lecture. He had looked right at her over and over as he held forth on Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and John Wayne. But when she came to his office, he had not even recognized her. Hers had been just one of the pale, pretty faces, indistinguishable from the next. And though he would never fully realize it, this was the first reason he came to love her. Because she had blended in so perfectly. Because she had seemed so completely and utterly at home. All through the second lecture, Marilyn remembered the smell of his skin, clean and sharp, like the air after a rainstorm, and the feel of his hands at her waist. And even her palms grew warm. Through her fingers, she watched him, the tip of his ballpoint tapping the top of the podium, the deliberate flick as he turned over another page of his notes. He looked everywhere but toward her, she realized. At the end of the hour, she dawdled in her seat, slowly slipping her papers into her folder, tucking her pencil into the pocket. Her classmates, hurrying to other courses, squeezed past her into the aisle, jostling her with their bags. At the podium, James sorted his notes, dusted his hands, replaced the chalk on the blackboard ledge. He didn't look up when she stacked her books, or when she tucked them in the curve of her arm and headed toward the door. Then, just as her hand touched the knob, he called, "A moment, Miss Walker." And something inside her jumped. The classroom was empty now, and she leaned against the wall, trembling, while he closed his briefcase and descended the steps of the platform. She curled her fingers around the doorknob behind her to hold herself in place. But when he reached her, he wasn't smiling. "Miss Walker," he said again, taking a deep breath. And she found that she wasn't smiling either. He was her teacher, he reminded her. She was his student. As her teacher, he would feel he was taking advantage of his position if they were... He looked down, fiddling with the handle of his briefcase. If they were to develop any kind of relationship. He wasn't looking at Marilyn, but she didn't know. She was looking down at her feet. At the scuffed toes of her shoes. Marilyn tried to swallow and couldn't. She concentrated on the gray scratches against the black leather and steeled herself by thinking of her mother, all those hints about meeting a Harvard man. "You weren't here to find a man," she told herself. "You were here for something better." But instead of the anger she hoped for, a hot ache swelled at the base of her throat. "I understand," she said, looking up at last. The next day, Marilyn came to his office hours to tell him that she'd dropped the class. Within a week, they were lovers. They spent all autumn together. James had a seriousness, a reserve unlike anyone she had met before. He seemed to look at things more closely, to think more carefully, to hold himself a half step apart. Only when they came together in his tiny Cambridge apartment did that reserve drop with a fierceness that made her catch her breath. Afterward, curled up on his bed, Marilyn ruffled his hair, spiky with sweat. For those afternoon hours, he seemed at ease with himself. And she loved that she was the only thing that made him feel that way. They would lie together, dozing and dreaming until 6 o'clock. Then Marilyn slipped her dress back over her head, and James buttoned his shirt and combed his hair again. His cowlick would stand up at the back, but she never told him, loving that little reminder of the side only she got.